Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
I can just imagine what the look on his face must have been. It makes me happy just to think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw all of his teeth. All of his teeth. Well, one of the things I have learned in the last several weeks is that Commissioner Glass can only be fired for cause. And I believe there is a lot of cause with, you know, having four riots in our jails since December.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. Tuesday was a historic day in St. Louis. The city elected its first ever Black female mayor, city treasurer Tashara Jones. But Jones has no time to bask in that historic victory. She takes office in less than 2 weeks, and that's one reason we're so grateful she's made time to join us today. So, Mayor-elect Tashara Jones, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me, Sarah. So good to talk to you.
So you came so close to winning 4 years ago. Did this campaign feel different when you were in the middle of it?
Yes, it did feel different because, you know, losing by 888 votes, I think, also makes you more determined to win the next time. So you are, you know, checking off all of the boxes, crossing all of the T's, dotting all of the I's, knocking on all of the doors, making all of the phone calls, and getting everybody you can to help you do that. And we saw a very diverse, multi-ethnic, multi-racial coalition really ready to help, and also ready to elect its first Black woman mayor. So I am honored and humbled that St. Louisans have chosen me and trust me to lead them into the 21st century.
So I have to ask, Tuesday night, so many of us kept refreshing and refreshing, trying to figure out when that final dump was going to be there. When did you realize that you'd won?
So I was with my my team and my dad, and so we also got a phone call before the final dump.
Okay. So the Board of Elections sort of tipped you off, or did you have somebody down there watching?
We had someone down there watching.
Okay.
So we got, yeah, we had a but it wasn't, it was maybe 30 seconds before everybody else knew. So,
okay.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, minutes and minutes before. It was literally, I received a note from a friend who was watching, and then all of a sudden, I heard a whole eruption outside. I'm like, oh, my God, they must know.
So it's that quick. I mean, you barely had a moment to even process that news.
Barely had a moment to process, yes.
Now, your dad, Vervis Jones, he's been such a presence throughout this campaign. We all know he's your number one fan. What was that like for him to get that news?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. He's so proud of not just me, but I have two younger sisters as well. And he prides himself on raising three strong and smart daughters. Mm-hmm. And we've done just about, you know, everything that we've set out to do. And he's just so proud to just to be there to support us in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can just imagine what the look on his face must have been. It makes me happy just to think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw all of his teeth, all of his teeth.
Well, look, so that's the exciting moment on Tuesday night. But I imagine it did not take long then for reality to sink in. The reality being that at that point, the clock was already ticking. You had less than 2 weeks to set up your administration. How terrifying is that to realize just how quickly you need to be set to go?
Well, you know, one of the things I talked about during the campaign is that we needed to elect someone who's ready to lead on day one. And I have the executive experience of coming in to an administration that needs help and fixing things that are broken, so, as I did with the treasurer's office. I transformed two departments and created a third. And so I still feel ready. You know, there's going to be obviously a steep learning curve because being on the county side is a little different than being on the municipal side. And there are a lot more employees than I currently have as treasurer. But But I do have the executive experience, not just in local government, but also in the private sector, to be able to hit the ground running.
So you've got about 40 people you'll need to appoint. I'm curious if you began sketching things out before the election, or if you were worried about jinxing it if you got too far ahead.
Oh, no, we started sketching things out. I mean, you know, it's never too, you know, we always have to be prepared, right? And we weren't looking at, you know, sketching things out as, you know, trying to jinx things. It's like one of the phrases that my chief of staff always uses is stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Mm. And I imagine that that explains why that chief of staff is coming over to be your chief of staff in the mayor's office. That's Jared Boyd.
Yes, absolutely. Jared Boyd has been a great chief of staff to me as treasurer. And, you know, like my mama always says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So he's coming with you. Of those other appointments you have to make, are you beginning to figure that out? What's the rollout of that going to look like?
So we put up a transition website on my current mayor's website, which is Tashara4mayor.com. If you go to that website, you'll see a button that says transition, and you'll see our transition team as well as the job openings. And so we are scheduling interviews with all of the department heads and all of the current staff. We had a brief meeting with the mayor yesterday just to kind of outline our process. And we will take this process, day by day and one day at a time.
Hmm. Were there any big surprises in that meeting with Mayor Crewson yesterday? Something that maybe you hadn't anticipated that you're now going to have to deal with?
No, not at all.
So the meeting went well?
Meeting went very well. Just got a, you know, brief update on, you know, what current projects that she's working on. And so we don't drop any balls. Mm-hmm. And then we will be in continual conversation going forward as well. And we've had my chief of staff has had a couple of conversations with some of her staff prior to winning as well. They've made themselves very available to us and to also to Kara Spencer, just to make sure that, you know, whoever won had some sort of baseline.
Hmm. So one of the biggest issues you're going to have to deal with right out of the gate, this involves corrections. As we talked about yesterday on our show, there was more unrest at the City Justice Center on Sunday, and that, of course, followed the very high-profile riot that happened there on February 6th. And the Reverend Darrell Gray, who I know you know well, he mm-hmm. is the chair of the city's Corrections Task Force. When he was on our show yesterday, he criticized senior management, and he cited a real lack of urgency on the part of Corrections Commissioner Dale Glass. Here's what he said yesterday on this show about Commissioner Glass.
I made it clear the other day after Sunday that the new mayor and now Mary-elect Jones has some big decisions to make, and she can make them. She's going to have to select a new public safety director, and that public safety director, I think, should give Commissioner Glass two options: resign or be fired.
And that is the Reverend Darrell Gray. Mayor-elect Jones, is this advice you plan to take?
Well, one of the things I have learned in the last several weeks is that Commissioner Glass can only be fired for cause. Mm. And I believe there is a lot of cause with, you know, having four riots in our jails since December. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way that I approach, you know, our corrections is, number one, you know, these jails were not built to hold people for the length of time that they're being held. Mm-hmm. And so we need to also engage our U.S. Attorney's Office, because we have about 200 or so detainees for federal charges, as well as our state courts, to see how we can start moving people through the process so we can uphold their constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that everybody that's in there needs to be there. So if it's something that's nonviolent or a parole violation, then let's look at alternative methods of keeping track of people until their trial date appears. Because we also have to recognize these people are pre-trial. Mm-hmm. They have not yet had their day in court. So there are, and we know that the courts have been bottlenecked due to COVID and there haven't been jury trials, but we really need to take a deep dive on who is actually there and do they really need to be there. Second thing is, I want to make sure that we are treating all of our detainees with dignity and respect. And I believe that, you know, Martin Luther King once said that that riots are the voices of the unheard. Mm-hmm. And obviously our detainees feel like that they are not being heard. And what can we do to improve conditions inside our facilities that, you know, I'm not talking about like yoga classes and, you know, and mm-hmm. massages, but, you know, how can we make sure that we are providing a decent environment where they're being respected and treated with dignity?
Reverend Gray talked about the need to have a more permanent type oversight committee. I know he's hoping that the committee that he's running could transition into that. Do you support that idea of having a committee specifically devoted to conditions within the two city jails?
I would definitely look into that, but let's back up a minute. We wouldn't have this task force if we were not if the conditions were so bad. So how can we appoint leadership of our corrections facilities to make sure that a commission is not necessary? So how can we make sure that, you know, that people again are being treated with dignity and respect, and everything inside the facility is up to par and works, and we are far from that. So I will definitely take a look at that. But you know, we have to make sure that the facilities are working, that the locks are working, that, you know, that temperatures are okay, that they have everything that they need. But again, we've got to move people through the system. As a daughter of someone who's been incarcerated myself, I realize that these are people first. You know, these are people's loved ones, and we need to treat them accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So one of the big things that you're going to have to deal with as mayor is the Board of Aldermen, for better or for worse. They are there. Yes. And a partner in government. Now, progressives mm-hmm. Were able to, quote unquote, flip the board on Tuesday. It looks like they have a coalition that is enough to have a majority on that board. Do you think that's going to make it easier for you to get things done as mayor?
I think it's going to be helpful, but one of my other goals is to usher in a new era of collaboration and cooperation where the board feels engaged with the mayor's office, and that has not happened over the last 4 years. So I want to meet with the board on a regular basis, you know, obviously within the quorum rules, but let them know that they have an ally in the mayor's office and that their voices are being heard, and also develop an agenda. We do a lot of reactive legislation, but how can we be proactive to develop an agenda where everybody's needs feels like they're being heard, and work towards passing some really progressive legislation that's going to benefit everybody in the city and help all boats in the tide rise?
So the president of that board, Lewis Reed, he ran against you and mm-hmm. was knocked out in the primary. Have you been able to talk to him since your election?
Yes, absolutely. So Lewis and I have been friends like long before we became public servants, mm-hmm. When we worked in the private sector. And so we do this dance every time we run against each other. You know, we'll fight in the ring, and then afterwards we'll go grab a soda, because Lewis doesn't drink alcohol. I do. We'll go grab a soda and hash everything out and press the reset button on our relationship. And so we've already done that.
So you feel confident you guys can have that good working relationship going forward?
Yes, absolutely. And I come from, you know, the school of criticize privately and praise publicly. So if we have some problems, then we'll have to again have an opportunity to speak privately about what people are saying and hash those things out, because I don't want to listen to rumors. If I hear a rumor, I would rather take it to him and make sure that it's true or false, and then move forward from there.
Hmm. So this is all happening so fast. You move down the hall in just now a week and a half. I got to ask, what are you most looking forward to as mayor?
I am most looking forward to engaging with our children. And showing little girls and little boys that you can be anything, and what leadership looks like. Because one of the things I love to do as treasurer was to read books in our schools and have conversations with our kids about what I do. And so I want to continue to do that as mayor, also continue to lift up our financial empowerment programs as mayor and make those better and reach more people, because I truly believe that nothing changes your life more than love or God or 100-point increase in your credit score. So how can we increase credit scores across the city where your credit score determines everything that you do and how much you pay for everything. And so we want to develop a 700 credit score city, and I look forward to working with our financial partners to do so.
Well, Mayor-elect Tashara Jones, we want to wish you the best of luck, and thank you again so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and feel free to call me anytime. I'll come back.
We are going to take you up on that.
Okay.
You can look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. If you learned something new from today's episode, consider leaving us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the easiest way to help people discover our show. We appreciate it. Thank you. St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.